The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may recall at the beginning of our liturgical year, we had the beginning of Mark's Gospel. And I had mentioned that that first verse in Mark's Gospel really packs a punch, even though it's like a benign statement. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In that first verse, we have a statement of authority. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as opposed to the emperor, who would also have been considered the son of a god. Shortly after, we get this scene with John the Baptist, where he says, "I've baptized you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At Jesus' baptism, when he's coming out of the water, the heavens are torn apart and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Those heavens were torn apart from top to bottom. Particularly this image in Mark's Gospel, schizo, it's torn down. The separation between heaven and earth do not exist in Christ, and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. It's the very Spirit that would immediately drive Jesus out into the wilderness where he's tempted for 40 days by Satan. Right after that, we got the gospel lesson from last week where he calls two sets of brothers to follow him and fish for people. And that brings us to what we just heard today. We're still in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, by the way. It's all chapter 1. So in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is teaching with authority, and it puzzles everyone who's present. Who is this guy? Jesus is able to confront a man with an unclean spirit, and he has the authority to even cast out these unclean spirits. Now those of us who have been reading Mark's gospel, hearing it, this wouldn't come as a shock. You're encountering this scene because the empire is no match for Jesus, Son of God. The spirits descended upon him like a dove, drove him out into the wilderness. He overcomes the temptations of Satan. Of course, unclean spirits are no match for Jesus and his authoritative word. Now, there's so many directions we can go if you want to interpret the unclean spirits in the gospel lesson. Some talk about spiritual warfare. We shouldn't take that lightly in our own times. Some focus on political forces that are against the gospel. Some have argued that Jesus healed people from things that we might have a better understanding and diagnosis of in our time than in Jesus' time. So many directions we can go in. Ophelia Ortega puts it this way: the forces of evil know of the healing power of Jesus' word. They are not submissive or indifferent. Jesus' powerful teaching not only is fresh to the ears of the faithful, but it also disrupts the undisturbed presence of evil. Evil discovers that it's running its course. It's running its course. Its time will end. I think what we might have most trouble with is this concept of authority. We live in a society that trusts institutions and professionals less and less. A society in which the individual has authority and their feelings matter more than their facts or reality. A society where my personal freedom matters more than my neighbor's security. That can be threatening when it can be threatened by the gospel. That can be threatened when I learn that Jesus has authority over me. When we learn that Jesus has authority over all of us. I think that's harder than just sitting with Jesus driving out an unclean spirit from this man in the synagogue. Because Jesus' authority in my life means I can't just do whatever I want. See, some people like to point to the authority of Jesus to get them to do whatever they want, right? That's what we like to do with Jesus' authority. But when we turn it in on ourselves, it's different. I got to take seriously his authoritative word, trusting that his teachings and instructions would orient me to a new way of living. But as human beings, we're all seduced by power in various ways. Sadly, there have been in the past and continue to be Christian institutions that take the teachings of Jesus and weaponize it to have power over people. Individually, we continue to believe the lie in the garden. We want to be like God in self-serving ways. So what do? What are we good at as human beings? We rationalize. Right? You heard me say before, like, how do we rationalize eating more dessert, right? Oh, you're on vacation, right? Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, right? You rationalize. It doesn't count because we're doing this. We might even convince ourselves that we're being faithful at times in our rebellion against God. So when the authoritative word of Jesus strikes our hearts, it should give us pause. We question, we doubt, much like those in the synagogue. We could even see evidence that the way of Jesus bears fruit. We're just not ready to go there. So we sit back and we question. We hesitate. Because we want to hold on to our power. But the irony is that the more we want to hold on to our power, the more powerless we become. What we see in Jesus' word and actions is healing and freedom. We want that. We want to be in control too. We want to do things on our terms. But when we turn to Jesus, we receive freedom and a healing power from God. That our own power and authority can only get us so far in this world. Notice what Jesus does here that we should imitate. There's no quid pro quo. Nothing's contingent upon Jesus healing this man. He just does it. He frees the man from his plight because he has come to destroy the barriers and boundaries that separate us from God. The boundaries between heaven and earth are torn apart and joined together in Jesus. He sees someone that is held captive with an unclean spirit, and he frees them. Notice the people's reaction. They're just curious. If you saw such a thing, wouldn't you be happy? If somebody was struggling with something and you saw them heal right in front of you, would you just be like, what is this? What's going on? Or would you be happy? Would you give thanks to God maybe? Right? What do they do? They're just puzzled. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 8, verse 6, is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Why wouldn't we be happy when we see what's oppressing someone now being taken away? See, the heavens being torn apart at Jesus' baptism in Mark's gospel gives us a preview for the very sign that we see in the gospel lesson today. That tearing apart between heaven and earth is now taking place right in front of them. They can see it. No more barriers, no more boundaries. The kingdom of God is near in Jesus. The power of Jesus' word is not simply just a new teaching or just new information. It's transformation. It takes place in the lives of all those who receive it. When we make ourselves our own authority, where do we turn when we inevitably screw up? Where do we go? Right? It's going to happen. It does happen. Now, I suppose we could continue to try to convince ourselves that we do no wrong. We could continue to perpetuate the sin in the garden, too, and point fingers, right? Say that we're not wrong and continue to point fingers. How many of us know people who do that? Are they pleasant to be around? They're never wrong, and it's everybody else's fault. They're miserable. But they're begging to be freed. They're begging to be freed. They're oppressed by that need to cling to that power, to their own authority, and to hear God's word of forgiveness. To be extended grace and mercy would free them from that need, where they can truly hear and receive God's love and hear and receive that God calls them to be children of God, that they belong, that their worth isn't contingent upon them being always right. We're not oppressed when we turn to the authority of Jesus. Quite the opposite. You know why? Because Jesus' authority is grounded in love. It's the authority of Jesus that frees us with that word of forgiveness. Jesus shows us mercy and grace in a way that he showed the man in the synagogue in need of healing. What is it that you need healing from today? In mind, body, or spirit? When we trust the false promises of this world, when we take matters into our own hands, we lose trust in that word from Jesus. But when we turn to that word, when we trust that word, we're truly free. Freed from the things that keep us down and hold us back. The things that seek to separate us from the love of God in this world. But see, the good news that we continue to cling to, that Jesus does not allow anything to separate us from the love of God in heaven or on earth. That has all been torn down, right? So Romans 8 really matches this theme from Mark's gospel. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That has been torn apart. Those barriers have been torn down. It's now joined together by the love of God in Jesus. Forgiven and freed as Christians, we are to live lives that surrender ourselves to the authority of love. To follow Jesus isn't to have power over anyone. To follow Jesus, we're given the power through the love of Jesus to liberate everyone. To extend mercy. To announce forgiveness. And by word and action, to provide healing and wholeness to those who are suffering. Article 6 of the Augsburg Confession, which I know you all have memorized. Kenny, I'm going to call on you. No, Article 6 of the Augsburg Confession, the new obedience, that faith is bound to bring, is going to bring forth good fruits and good works. Because it's a faith that's grounded in trusting that authoritative word that God loves us, the authoritative word that God forgives us, the authoritative word that God gives us salvation. And as a result, in that faith and trust in that word, good fruits and good works are going to spring forth. Now, at the end of the gospel lesson today, we heard at once, because of this spectacle that the people just kind of standing around are seeing, they say Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. But that's not why Jesus wanted people to believe in him. His ministry and actions were important. But the final word of his ministry is the cross. Again, it's on the cross that centurion soldier says, "This is the Son of God." It's on the cross that we rejoice in that true freedom that we can live without fear, because we can never be separated from God's love. Not even death can separate us from God's love. That barrier has been destroyed by the love of Jesus. So, beloved children of God, under that power of God's love in both life and death, may we rejoice and give thanks for that final authoritative word of Jesus that promises love and life without end. Thanks be to God. Amen.